Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Bellied Up Podcast. I'm Charlie Behrens. I'm joined by the fearless, amazing, the French, Miles. Mon plaisir.
Oui, oui.
Oh, hey, hey. We are also presented by Fleet Farm. How are we doing, Miles?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Charlie?
I'm doing good.
I feel like it's been a while since I've seen you.
It has been a while. The last time I saw you was in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and you weren't feeling so good.
I wasn't feeling good, but look at me now.
Yeah.
Bill of health. I mean, wedding coming up here. I know this comes out way further in the future, but I'm feeling good.
Yeah, we're going back to the future. Now, I do want to say you're looking really good. You've got the short sleeves. I'm seeing the guns. You're up to one salad a day, you told me the other day. And boy, I am seeing the difference.
You look, are you?
Yeah, you're looking like...
Now, I am a taken man, so cool it, Charlie.
Not yet.
Yeah, that's true. There's still time.
I see you doing
your last ditch effort here.
That's exactly what this is. This is kind of like the Hallmark movie of me coming to the small town to try and break up the wedding, you know, see if we can... The
only thing that would be better is if it was set during Christmas.
I know.
And then it would be a... textbook. It would be a Hallmark movie.
Grandma's who would watch it if we were during Christmas.
Oh yeah.
So I'm curious, what are your health secrets? Because you're looking really really good since the last I saw you.
Yeah, basically just a lot of mushrooms. Been listening to the Joe Rogan podcast a lot.
Nice.
A lot of DMT.
Good for you.
And then I just deep dive into the ancient pyramids is really what it's been. I just get so focused on that I forget to eat.
They're
so
fascinating.
Yeah, I couldn't be a bigger cataclysmic ancient civilization guy now.
Good for you.
Listening to that. So
good for you.
Heavy diet of Rogan and mushrooms.
Good. Good.
What about you? What's your diet consist of these days?
A lot of mixed nuts and berries, whatever I can forage for in the woods.
Okay. Yeah. A little foraging there in Milwaukee in the forest.
Yeah. A lot of
foraging
forest. Foraging in the forest.
What is the strangest thing you've recently seen in the forests of Milwaukee?
Okay. You saying forests of Milwaukee like there aren't any. There actually are a lot of good parks there. But I did I saw a crane, which is nice. You know, there's actually a very healthy crane population in Wisconsin.
Jared, we drove by the world's largest crane sculpture, did we not? Driving through North Dakota. Remember, I was like, what is that, a roadrunner? You're like, no, that's a crane.
Sandhill crane? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Yeah, the sandhill cranes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was a roadside attraction that we drove by. Actually.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw a ditch chicken my way up. Yeah. I did.
And rooster?
I didn't have a... First of all, I don't know if you can shoot them in Minnesota.
I don't know either.
I didn't want to find out the hard way either.
Yeah, let those go.
Yeah.
Also, then you would have had to bring it to my house and I'd have had to clean it for you, the whole thing.
Oh, listen to him. He doesn't think I know how to clean a pheasant.
No, I'm just saying that you don't have any facilities to cook a pheasant right now because you're on the road.
Well, it's cold enough out and I got a knife in my back. So what I would do is I fillet it and I just keep it in the bed of the truck.
Okay. All right. There we go.
It's God's freezer.
Okay. I didn't know if you were maybe like pull over side of the road, start a fire.
No.
Forage for some nuts for an appetizer.
Hey, if I were really hungry, I would do that. I can at any moment, if I have a pheasant, really get some poppers going. Pheasant poppers. Although I do need bacon for that. Poppers without bacon is not really a popper. It's
can't
more of
really
a,
forage in the forest for a pig.
No.
You know?
Well, you can. Wild pigs. Have you ever gone pig hunting?
Yeah, I suppose it depends on which part of the country you're in.
Yeah, I was in South Carolina. Oh, that was me, by the way. Do you hear that little smack of the lips? I'm just going to bring this out into the open so I can just get it off my chest. One of you made a comment.
It
was more than one. People are upset about the lip smacking, and Miles and I are uncertain as to who is doing the more.
It was more so you worried about it.
Well, yeah. I guess that's true. I'm curious. It's almost like, you know, when you're blind to something and then all of a sudden you see it, it's like a whole new, what I mean?
Oh, no, absolutely.
So
same thing. You think about seeing a yellow car and then all you do is see yellow cars, but you never see them otherwise.
Yeah, right. Or you get a new car, a new variety of car, and you really haven't paid much attention, then every time you're on the road, you see it. That's exactly. why cheap people always give themselves the peace sign.
Well, that's for another reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mostly okay. it's like an inferiority complex of some sort.
Well, they have short cars.
Yes.
They have short and fat cars.
Yeah. So. Well, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, why don't you just get a couple smacks out of the way, lip smacks.
Yeah, it's almost a beat. I like to smack my lips, and I don't care if you don't like that. I like to smack my lips. I am in your... Where'd my beak go?
I lost my breath.
Okay, give it
to me. You wouldn't understand the lung capacity it takes to be a professional beatboxer, I'm finding out. I mean...
Finding out exhausting. In real time.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm sorry if my lip smacking offends any of you, and I'll try and watch it. Maybe I'm the most... Ooh.
That's a new one. Try that from instead of lip smacking.
That's almost like a squirrel.
Mouth clicking.
You know when yeah. you're walking in the woods and you're... Yeah. They do Come something here. Else.
It's like reeling in a dog, you know? Yeah. Come here, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I think we got it down. Did you have a question? You said you had something you wanted to talk to me about.
I'm going to save it for the next... We've talked a lot. Okay. I'll just save it for the next one.
I was wondering,
one.
But... It, for those wondering, Charlie and I just got here. This was us just getting reacquainted since the last time we saw each other.
It really was.
We decided to just do it on live.
Yeah.
Instead of just having this conversation, then doing the podcast.
We'll do it live.
Yeah. Essentially, that's what happens.
Yeah, that is. So I'm excited to get some new callers in, aren't you?
We are. So why don't we take some callers?
Let's do it. Welcome to the Belly Dub Podcast. Who we got on the phone?
Yeah, this is Emmett Hanner from Southwest Indiana. How you doing?
Oh, doing good.
Hey, what's going on?
Emmett, you said, huh?
Yeah, correct.
All right, Emmett, what's on your mind? Belly on up to the bar.
Well, I mean, so main thing here is lately I've been noticing all these geese are coming back in. They're migrating or whatever. And I don't know if they actually have an idea of where they're going. I mean, they're flying over. I hear them. It's still winter. It's snowing over here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're migrating back up here for what reason? I have no idea. It makes no sense to me. They have no sense whatsoever.
So you're saying we maybe have some confused geese on our hands is what you're saying.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's not just this year. I mean, it's every year. They act like they know where they're going. They get the V pattern. They're on some sort of trajectory, but they have absolutely no idea what's going on around them.
Now,
and they're either late or they're extremely early.
That is true. That is a good point. Yeah. Now, one question, though. I would like to give geese a tiny bit of credit, because if we tried to organize a bunch of humans to walk in a V-shaped pattern, it would be disastrous, would it not?
Absolutely, it would.
So yeah. Let's give them a little credit for being able to fly in a V formation. I'll say that.
I think it is very impressive what they do. I always get sad when I see them flying in a V and there's clearly like a gap in the V. And it's just like, oh, rest in peace, Larry. You know, he went down too soon. Did you know geese mate for life, by the way?
Yeah, I did. And, I'm not sure if they have as much intuition as this in the same way that they're traveling, right? If they have the same amount of brain power going into those decisions, but
right.
So if they do, they're in bad hands.
Yeah. So let's dive into a little bit about your irrational hate for geese, because it seems to be kind of deep rooted. You can sense it in his voice. You can tell it's like a passionate thing that he has.
I know. And I'm going to add on before you even answer about your deep seated hatred of geese that a lot of people do not like geese. Geese get a bad rap. And I'm here to be in defense.
Are you?
Of geese.
Okay.
I am. But
I wouldn't necessarily go that far, but I'm very interested to see why he hates them so much.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's unpack it.
Yeah. Where do you think it started?
Well, I mean, you see about every parking lot you go to. You go over to the Walmart or the Menards, and you see them everywhere. I mean, just coating the lawns and the medians all around, and it's always out of season, so you can't do anything about it. You can't bring a shotgun into town.
No, to get them. Usually so frowned like upon.
They're taunting you.
And
it's just not fair. I mean, they're playing a game that we know we're going to lose. It's just it doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I'll tell you this much. I live close to what must be a goose sanctuary because every morning at like 5:30, I am awoken by the goose alarm clock. They're just roosting at like 5:30. They're going to town. Have
really?
You heard that? Have you heard geese? Have you heard that over there in Indiana?
So I have some partridges in my little vicinity there. So I don't have the geese where I'm at, but I got other birds to deal with.
Oh, so they're making noise for you early in the morning.
Well, not so much. It's more so when Ann wakes up, she's banging stuff around in the house and, you know, she yelling at me to
birds?
Get up and no, that's yeah. That's my form of geese is and getting mad at me to wake up.
I got it. So you sleep through the geese is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a heavy sleeper. I don't know why, but I feel like if you just look at me, you can just tell that I'm a heavy sleeper.
That
for some
guy
reason.
Is a heavy sleeper.
Yeah.
Heavy drinker, heavy sleeper.
Okay. So do you have any geese around your house? Are they, because one thing that I don't like about geese is that they're always crapping on everything. I mean, there's crap everywhere. If I go golfing, if I'm at the lake, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
So is that another thing that seems to be an issue for you?
The crap issue on our end is not of the geese variety. It's more of the bovine variety. We don't have enough geese around us and like directly by our house in rural Indiana that, they're crapping all over everything. I mean, we have a couple that land in a pond right by our house, and we love watching them. They're taunting us, saying we're out of season, and then they fly away, and that's about all the interaction that we get.
So you're a goose hunter, then?
I wish I was, I've actually never been.
You've never been. I'm surprised. With this much animosity toward the geese population, I'm surprised you're not into
it. I can't tell if it would be good or bad for him to go goose hunting.
He's definitely going over his limit if he goes.
Yeah, we're going to have to make sure that we keep you right on the limit, I think is what it sounds like.
Exactly. I do like the idea of these geese being lost, though. You know, like, because I feel like, you know, we've had such a wild winter. The past couple winters have been super wild. So, you know, maybe the geese.
One question on that.
Yeah, pal.
I feel like we say that every year. I think every year it's always like, God, we sure had a lot of snow this year. And it's like we did basically every year prior to that. Have you ever thought about that? I think that's
maybe
usually,
that's just maybe a thing we say.
I think it's one of those things we just say. It doesn't matter what happens. It's sure got a lot of snow.
Yeah. Well, that's probably because every time it does snow, you're out there doing some about it. So it really,
really
sticks in the dome.
Mind, yeah. So anyways, continue on.
Well, I just think that the geese, you know, we take our directions for granted. But imagine if we were up in the sky flying without a GPS. I mean, we would be very, very lost. I think we do have to give the geese some credit for being able to get, you know, really anywhere. And if they get lost once in a while, well, that's just something that's going to happen because they don't have a GPS on them. Right.
This might be like a really, go ahead.
They stay in cell signal range though. So what does that tell you?
Oh, you don't think birds are real, do you? You think this
is... No, I definitely do.
Okay.
I thought this call was going to take a turn.
I thought we were going to go deep down the rabbit hole. Before we know it, we're talking about contrails.
Okay, so we're up here...
Chemtrails.
...in Minnesota, technically, right now, but basically, you know, North Dakota, Minnesota area here. Now, we obviously see them fly south. I'm wondering... Where do they actually go when they leave? I know it may seem like a really dumb question by me, but I've lived here my whole life, and so I've never actually seen where do all the geese go. Maybe that's maybe a good country song name right there.
Where do the geese go when they fly? Where do the geese go when they fly? I like it.
That actually sounded pretty good. Oh. And well, we also maybe found where they fly, and it's just overhead of Emmett here. I think that's where they go.
The geese are vacationing in southern Indiana in March.
Yep.
Well, yeah. That is interesting. What do you think a goose does on vacation? It's for
it
you,
has
Emmett.
To be Florida.
Florida.
Florida, Louisiana.
Okay.
A whole bunch of crap is what it does.
Yeah. They eat grass and crap. Yeah.
I don't think we helped that much, but
I don't think we helped at all.
I think the main thing is I think you just need to go. It's one of those things. He's got pent up stuff going on. He needs a release. And I think that he just needs to maybe go goose hunting somewhere.
You know what, Emmett? I'm going to offer you an alternative option. Why don't you just go ask the goose what's up? Have you ever talked?
Yeah, a little goose group therapy.
Yeah. A lot of times we hold in these deep-seated hatreds of, for instance, in Wisconsin, it's people from Illinois. It's really unfounded. So maybe... Now, granted, there are the toll booths in Illinois and also they're terrible drivers and a few other things and the bears and the whole deal. But maybe if you go talk to a goose and get its side, its perspective, maybe you'll understand said goose better and you'll be less inclined to upset with them.
He wants to fly and hang out in the pond by your house and then fly away. He sees the same thing you do where you live.
Yeah.
Maybe you and the geese aren't so different. Just lost in a big world, flying around, hoping to find the right direction.
Looking 4 miles southbound.
I'm in a pool of tears on this side.
What's that?
He's in a pool of tears, he said.
Oh, you're in a pool of tears?
I think we found
it,
Charlie.
It's just beautiful. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Flying in a V, missing Trixie.
Where do the geese go? When they leave here,
do they go to Florida or do they hang out with a deer? We're going to work on that for you, man. Okay. Yeah. We're going to really work on that song for you.
Well, we appreciate calling in, man. Hopefully you can find some relief from the geese. Truly. I know how infuriating they can be. Also, though, if you've heard of fly too close to the sun, you get burnt. If you get too close to the geese, you're going to get pecked. So
it's true.
That's what they do. They hiss at you. Have you been hissed at by a goose recently, Emmett?
Not recently, but in years past, it's been a perennial problem.
Okay.
One time I caught a goose fishing and my dad had to come over and pull the hook out.
Oof.
Thanks for calling. Oof. He has no comment. He's like, let me get back to work.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We appreciate calling in, man. Hopefully the geese situation gets a little better.
Yeah, you betcha. I better be going.
All right. See you now.
Talk soon.
All right.
Well, he couldn't get off the phone fast enough.
I think we did our best.
We tried.
But I do understand his disgruntledness with the geese population.
I get it. It's just I'm not a biologist and none of my good friends are geese. And so I don't really know what I'm going to say in that.
No.
You know. So anyway. Oh, well.
Who do we got on the line?
Hey, guys. This is Mitch calling from Sioux Falls.
Mitch from Sioux Falls. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. Just pretending to work, filling out my March Madness bracket.
Okay, I like that. I like that. What is your go-to technique to look like you're working?
Just have email up on one screen and then two separate tabs. One with the bracket stuff or like watching games on Thursday, Friday. You got to have one tab open with like a spreadsheet and then you got your other tab open with your bracket and a game on.
I like that. And every once in a while you got to like get up and walk around and just be like, I am in the thick of it in there. Sound a little disgruntled, and then they're like, I don't think I want to talk to him today. He sounds really busy. And then they'll kind of leave you alone. Yeah. I think that's a good move. I think you're already, you know what you're doing. So there we go.
Yeah. You got a lot of insight to share in the workplace. What's on your mind outside the workplace?
So I wanted to get you guys' thoughts. Well, first off, thanks for taking my call. Big fan. But I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on something. So I'm a big TouchTunes guy. As of this call, I have 5,609 plays and 755 check-ins.
Wow.
I've likely probably spent a down payment on a house worth of credits over like 9 years or so. So I just kind of wanted to see if, do I have a problem, or am I just a good bar patron trying to set the vibe right? And then I just kind of wanted your thoughts on TouchTunes in general, on what you guys think of it. So
where do we you start? Own TouchTunes stock? Because let's start there. I think we should find out who owns TouchTunes.
Miles is starting with the financial aspect
of this. Well, I mean, down payment for a house on TouchTunes is...
It's quite a bit.
You know, I think first and foremost, let's get you invested in TouchTunes, because you've already invested your life savings in it. Charlie, you had something you were going to ask him?
Yeah, I mean, you know, first of all, what do we think of TouchTunes? This goes into the music in the history of music in the bar. Start off with a jukebox, you know, Fonzie hitting that thing or whatever, and it just played for him. I mean, could you imagine if Fonzie had TouchTunes, you know, be a lot less cool. You know, it goes from with his hand to like boink, putting it on his phone. I think honestly, it's a natural progression of music in a bar. I know some people don't like it, especially when there are those who dominate the playlist all night. Sounds like you are maybe guilty of that. The real question there is, what's your go-to first song when you're using TouchTunes in a bar?
Oh, you know, that's tough. I think you got to read the room a little bit, right? You know, if you're in a small town bar, you got to play some old Hank Williams Jr. or I don't even know, Toby Keith. If you're in a younger bar, you need to find some like Morgan Wallen or Luke Combs. And then, I mean, if I'm in a club, then I'm probably just not in my element. So that doesn't really happen too
often. Yeah, I don't think that they got TouchTunes in a club. I'm going to be completely honest.
They have a DJ who's basically doing the same thing.
So that brings me to a good question for him. Have you ever thought about professionally DJing before? And instead of paying to be a DJ, have you ever thought about getting paid to be a DJ?
Yeah, TouchTunes is kind of like the karaoke of DJing, you know, to a degree.
Have you thought about that?
You know, here and there I thought about it, but I'd rather just go to the bar and have fun than work, if that makes sense.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So it's truly a passion for him.
It is a passion. He's a TouchTune passion guy. Or he's passionate about TouchTunes, rather. Has anyone ever found out? I'm not super familiar with TouchTunes, I got to be honest with you. I don't think I've done it. My brother's done it when I've been in the bar. But can people find out who's playing what song?
No, it's totally anonymous.
So one thing I will have to say to add to what you were saying, your choices of songs, I would like to say kudos to you for being a person who can read the room and find the right song for the room, because not a lot of people who spend a lot of money on TouchTunes, usually it's like, the reason why I spend so much money is I want to play the songs that I want to listen to.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you adjust for the room, and that's what it takes, honestly.
Now, that said, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Charlie.
Well, I know that after you've started it off, you've read the room, you've played the song you think the room wants to hear, the room is grooving, now you've kind of earned one, you know? Give five for them, one for you. What's the song you're doing for you? That maybe the bar doesn't like. Maybe the bar doesn't like it, but you like it.
That's just tough. I don't even know. I mean, whatever I'm into at the time, so... Could be really anything. It's totally it's a wild card move.
Depends on
how you go in my most played, and I could probably tell you.
Okay, there we go. Definitely. Pull up the app.
Yeah, pull it up.
Give me the top five most played songs you got on there.
That's a great idea.
Oh man. You know, wild card one is a little Africa by Toto.
That is a great, I mean, it's at face value seems like a wild card song. Everyone loves it though.
Everyone's it's bobbing there.
Yeah, absolute man. Great go to. So that's your top song?
Oh, one of them. It's Mia and the Bar like that one. My favorite. Well, Ain't Going Down Till the Sun Comes Up by Garth Brooks is one of them for sure. So,
what is the top song you got on there? I know you can see. What's the top song?
I don't know if I can see my actual top one.
Okay.
They got to fix that app.
It just has all of my favorites. They do need to fix it. Well, I'll write them a letter.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you wish TouchTunes had that they don't already have?
A VIP like section where I don't like I can just pay like a monthly thing and get as many plays as I want, or that I can prioritize my play over everybody every time, even the people who use the priority play. Like I want to be able to skip to number one because I feel that I've earned it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, how much have you spent on TouchTunes? Let's get a dollar amount there.
I don't know.
How do you not know that?
I did a rough estimate. The prices have changed over the years. So I did a rough estimate, I don't know, probably 2 years ago. And we figured it was over like $8,000 probably.
Wow. Wow.
What do you do for a living again?
That's like a cup of coffee a day type thing, right?
Yeah, it is a cup of coffee. I mean, if you're not drinking the free coffee, yeah, it's a cup of coffee. What do you do for a living? What's your job that you're barely working at?
I just work in marketing for a hospital.
Oh, class.
Oh, hospital marketing. So, well,
that's real hard. Hey, are you about to die? Come to our hospital. I tell you what, though, I can't fault you. That's a great gig.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great gig. You know, I mean,
because you can always fall back on like, how, you know, what's going on with the marketing team? We haven't had as many sick people lately. You're like, dude, I'm telling you, it's just people are just eating cleaner these days. Yeah. Hey, what am I supposed to do? I'm doing my best.
Meanwhile, you've got five basketball games up on your tabs, you know, just dreaming up new songs to play in the bar on TouchTunes. I like it.
Writing my set list for the night.
Yeah, writing your set list. That's a funny dude. That's a funny sketch. That would be a great sketch of just walking into a bar like a DJ, you know, and setting
like
up your
like a TouchTunes superstar that comes in and like has to sign autographs and stuff. And
yeah.
And everyone's gathered around him, ready to do his thing, and then he cracks his knuckles and just press play on the first song.
But he's like dressed like a DJ. Instead of like a DJ booth, he sits at like a booth like that one over there, you know?
Exactly.
Oh, that's great. What if we made that into a sketch? What do you think about that?
I think that's gold. That's gold. So,
all right. So I got one more question. I'm very I've never talked to anyone who's been a marketing person for a hospital. Truly, what is your job? Like, are you guys running campaigns for people to eat bad food so that you get more business at the hospital, or how does it work?
They're behind all the McDonald's ads.
I'll keep that in mind for the next pitch meeting. Yeah. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Walk in. So no, guys, hear me out. What if we encouraged people to get sick?
I think you're onto something.
But actually, though, what's like the daily routine if you're not?
Just kind of figure out patient experience, figure out where we need to pick up, you know, more people enrolling and, you know, either the health insurance side or try to get people to come see the whatever hospital for their, you know, cardiovascular or orthopedic needs or whatever. It's extremely exciting stuff.
Yeah, let's see how good you are at your job. You've at least seen a video of Charlie and I. You've seen
Manny.
You've seen our physiques. If you are trying to sell me services of some sort, what do you think I'm gonna need?
Let me think. I'm thinking I'm thinking you're going to need orthopedic or like back pain or shoulder pain after you hang the numbers up on your house.
Okay. All right. What gives me away that I got back pain?
No, I just mean you'll have back pain from working so hard.
Oh, okay. That, right? Nice. Yeah.
He was super.
It's not all the beer and the beer gut that I have that's weighing on my spine. It's the work that I'm doing.
No.
I could hear the wheels.
No, that's all that weight sculpture for.
I could hear the wheels in his head turning, though. He's like, how am I going to answer this?
He's like, just looking at him and hearing him breathe, it sounds like he's going to need some heart insurance.
You know, you're in good, Miles, you're in good shape. Do you know Miles is doing a salad a day these days?
I know.
Days.
Your bosses are going to hate me because I'm going the other way. I'm trying to stay away from the hospital.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a good thing.
Well, this was really great. We think that you're doing a public service by playing the tunes you like and feeling out the bar. Not even playing the tunes you like, playing the tunes the bar likes. And I feel like all TouchTune app owners should take a page out of your book and ask not what the TouchTunes can do for you, but ask what you can do for the bar. John F. Kennedy said that.
I'd heard him. Yeah, I've heard that speech. It was really good.
It was good.
But I don't know. You might have done it better.
Yeah. Thank
you. Hopefully it ends better for you.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's been enough time. We can laugh at that.
Well, hey, last thing before you guys let me go here. Yeah. Bar recommendation.
Blow our minds. What's up?
Area. Safari Bar in Renner, South Dakota. You got to hit it up. That is, it's one of my favorite places. It's so cool. You guys definitely should do a podcast.
Hold on. Again, it's the Safari Bar.
Yeah.
And the number one play is Africa by Toto. Is it not?
I think it has to be.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. And Miles, I want to introduce,
it's not on me.
I want to introduce a new segment to the Bellied Up podcast. And that's called Pitch Your Bar. Tell us why we should go to this bar. Tell us.
Come on down and tell us about your bar.
Come on down and pitch your bar. Pitch your, do we like that branding or pitch your small town bar or what do you think?
We'll find it.
We'll find it. We'll find it. Go ahead. Floor is all yours.
Oh, it's just, it's awesome. The guys are huge hunters. So they have mounts from, you know, they've got a cougar on top of the bar. They've got mule deer. Then they've got a bunch of animals from Africa. They've got a bear, huge moose. They're just mounts galore. It is super awesome.
Cool.
Cold beer, most important thing.
Tell me they don't have like an outfit, on though.
Do you have any idea how they got the name for the bar?
Honestly, I'm not sure if I ever get to talk to the owners again, I'll ask them.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see no connection between the name and that, so I'm just curious. But yeah. Love to know.
Yeah.
Ask them for us, will you?
Yeah. I will. I'll put in a word.
All right. Well, good luck pretending to work. Stay strong out there. And it's only illegal if you get caught. Remember that.
It is actually illegal whether you get caught or not.
No.
But you're only going to jail if you get caught.
Okay. Tomato, tomato.
Potato, tomato.
Well, thanks for calling in and keep doing the Lord's work on the touch tunes. You're really doing a good job.
Will do.
God bless.
Thanks, fellas. Have a good one. Yeah.
The one question I was going to ask him is how much a month would he realistically pay to get that VIP status? Oh. It sounds like he might have paid like $500 a month.
I mean, that's, yeah, like $8,000.
You got to talk into the mic. You got to talk into the mic,
oh,
Charlie.
Oh, sorry. $8,000, and that was 2 years
How
ago.
How do you go from talking to a mic the whole call, and then as soon as you feel like the call's done, it's just, I forget the
that we do this talking after the deal. I forget that we do every call. I forget that we talk after the call. I do kind of like the segment of pitch your hometown bar.
Yeah.
Like
I mean, short and sweet. I like it.
We should have like a little like song too. Like
pitch your bar.
Pitch your bar. Yeah, that's good. Let's just cut that and then we'll use it every time.
All right, we'll take another caller.
All right,
Charlie, you know what?
What's that, Miles?
No, since you're up here in the Fargo, Moorhead, Dilworth area, yeah. I think what we should do is all the ice houses by now have to be off the ice by this time, yeah. But ice is still thick enough. You and I could just trot on out there with a bucket.
You know, it's actually a very special time of year, Miles, because what you can do is take an outboard motor or a trolling motor, attach it to a floating ice sheet, and then send that sucker across the drink till she melts.
Basically do it just like the polar bears do.
Just right? That's how the polar bear is ice fish, actually. Yeah. I saw that on National Geographic.
And I'm also thinking, what better to float around on a little iceberg than to have an ice cold tippy cow?
Nice cold tippy cow.
All we need is two buckets, two rods,
and one bottle
of tippy cow.
Hey, cheers to that.
Cheers to that. I was pausing because I didn't know if you got my two rods joke that I tried.
Oh, a wiener joke.
No.
Two rods, one bucket?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we can take turns on the bucket, but we're definitely taking turns on the tippy cow. It's going to go, we'll just pass it back and forth.
Yes, sir. That's
as
how
we just
do it.
Float around on this ice cap and have ourselves a good old time. And basically, we want to shorten the most amount of time between ice fishing and regular fishing.
That's basically
right?
It. Yeah, we want to go from short poles to long poles in like a day.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I have a tougher time going from short poles to long poles than you do probably, but I still try and get it done.
I like how you know your pole.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I really do.
Cheers
but
to you.
It makes it all better when you got a nice ice cold glass, a tippy cow, baby. Tip it on back with
Amen.
Tippy cow.
Amen. Hey, everybody, make sure you get over to Fleet Farm. It's an awesome place, and it's where you get all your home improvement needs, life needs, whatever. You can get a crock pot there. You can get nails and screws, too. And, head on over there. Great, great Midwest establishment.
I think you get a pair of Crocs as well.
Can you get Crocs there?
Weather's starting to get warmer now, so I think you got to head over there and get a pair of Crocs.
You can get a pair of Crocs, and I just... did the
lip smacking.
That's
again.
Me. It's me. I'm the guy. So anyway, yeah, head on over to Fleet Farm. Welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast. Who do we have on the line?
Holy smokes. My name is John.
John, how you doing? Where are you calling in from?
Oh, calling from the great state of Kansas City. Well, not state, but you know.
It's a state of mind. The great state of mind of Kansas City. How is Kansas City this time of year?
You know, we're still in that championship mindset.
Yeah, congratulations.
It's great.
No, I do want to apologize for Super Bowl I. But aside for that.
Yeah, we know we're still kind of holding a grudge against the Packers for that.
Yeah, you should. That was
back when, it was really tough to win a Super Bowl, Charlie.
It was a hell of a lot tougher then than now.
Technically, it wasn't a Super Bowl. So
it was a Super Bowl. That was Super Bowl I.
Yeah.
Well, I see what you're saying. It wasn't called the Super Bowl yet.
Before the merger, So
that's exactly what I'm saying. Not as much competition. Less people knew about the NFL at that point. Now we're getting the cream of the crop talent, and it clearly shows that Kansas City was better than the Packers.
Sorry, I don't care. Anything about the talent? I don't care. Look at the equipment those guys wore back then. To play football, you had to basically, you had to be the, they were playing with plastic helmets.
I know,
dude.
And so people weren't leading with their head as much.
I mean,
people
they were real men, They were willing to go out and put their life on the line and get killed,
Well, no, but they wouldn't hit each other as hard because they didn't have as good equipment. So if you go pound for pound how hard they hit, it's about the same.
I'm sorry. You just pulled that out of your ass. There's no way.
Sorry that I just kind of schooled you on that one about Super Bowl I. Championship I.
No, it was, first of all, it was the Super Bowl, and the Packers won a ton of titles before the Super Bowl's even there. They've won the most titles in the NFL for all of you.
Yeah, I won a bunch of middle school basketball titles as well. When I was a kid.
Anyway, what brings you on the Bellied Up Podcast?
Just one, excited to talk to you guys. I didn't think I'd actually get through, so excited to be on. Looking for some, that good old Midwest advice.
Well, we'd love to give you some. Belly on up to the bar and tell us what's on your mind.
So I've got this dream of mine to like start a bar / hardware store.
Oh, I like this.
On.
Mixing booze with drills. And what could possibly go wrong?
Right. You know, I think it could be a liability nightmare, but I haven't talked to insurance, and that's not my forte.
Let's not start with insurance. Let's start with the dream.
Yes. Let the lawyers figure that out later. Right.
Do you think in Wisconsin Dells, when they were building the world's tallest water slide, they were like, what would the insurers think of this? Hell no. They got to that later. There's enough bribing money to go around. So tell us about this dream. I'm loving it so far.
Well, you know, so I love tools. I'm what guy doesn't. And, you know, like to have a drink. And, you know, if you've got that project that you're working on late at night and you don't have a hardware store to go to, but, you know, it's also at the same time, it's been a rough day, so you need to have a drink, you know. So, you know, combine the two together, have a hardware store that's open bar hours or a bar that's open, you know, hardware store hours. You know, you basically just the whole idea is you got guys that just go belly up to the bar and hey, bring this, you know, contraption I'm working on. I don't know how to fix it. And like, hey, you know, bring your needs to Reed's. We'll take care of you.
Oh, God.
I love it.
Well, first of all, great idea to make the bar the think tank for all of the projects, right?
Yes.
You maybe come to the bar, you workshop it with the other guys at the bar. See what I did there? Workshop it. And then you go head next door to the hardware store. You get the stuff, go home, and you do your project.
I'm thinking.
Or better yet, your hardware store is the bar. So while the guys are there sitting at the bar, and they're like, you know what? You know, take some pressure off, have a drink, have some tippy cow, because that's dang good. Yeah.
Basically, we make it like an Apple store, but for drinking and hardware. So you can sit down and you can see the wall, and there's people walking around handing you drinks saying, can I help you with anything?
I like it. I like this.
And, you know, you open the tab, they spend way more money. Then they forget what their problem was. They have to come back. You know, it's a great idea, I think.
It's perfect. Now, will they be able to actually bring the projects in and start actually doing it? Will there be a workshop in the bar?
I hadn't thought about that, but you know, I could see that, but I could also see the problem. You know, I have guys that have had a few too many and then use power tools. I mean, I don't know.
They're doing it at home.
No, it's just you got to adopt the mentality of we just don't talk about that part of this thing, you know? It's just an don't ask, don't tell situation.
You know, have like if you want a membership, you can go in the speakeasy in the back. It's a speakeasy, but it's actually a workshop.
Yeah.
There we go.
And then you should also have some, like high chairs and the people sitting on them, and they're like the lifeguards, you know, have some lifeguards.
No. Don't stick your finger in that engine. It's going. Wait till it's turned off.
They blow the whistle.
Hey, sit back down.
You just have a bunch of guys like, yeah, I've got a membership to Reed's, but I only have three fingers.
You know,
Reed's. You may lose a finger, but you'll gain a friend.
You know, I think we got it all figured out.
Yeah. Well.
I like this.
So like what I'm trying to decide is do I buy a bar and then retrofit it into a hardware store, or buy a hardware store and retrofit it into a bar?
I think you buy the hardware store. A lot more room for activities, plus it's a little more of a blank slate, you know?
Yeah, there's more square footage, and it's probably cheaper land than bars are usually on pricey land. I do have to ask this, though. What lighting are you going to go with? Are you going to go with bar lighting, or are you going to go with hardware store lighting? Because two very different vibes you can create.
Well, lighting is actually my specialty. That's what I do for a living. I sell lighting.
Wow.
So I'd go with some like designer lighting on the front end, and then like you walk through a door and you can go to like the hardware store lighting in the back. But yeah, you can totally like make the front of the store look just like a bar, but then you go behind the bar and there's a hardware store.
Well, question, you're being the lighting guy, and this is our dream now together. I dream that it's, you can, they all got dimmers, and you can change the lighting in each section of this store slash bar. So if some guys are really working on a maybe a small engine of some sort, you can crank those lights up right where they're at so they know what they're doing, and then but doesn't kill the vibes in the rest of the spot.
Easy peasy.
Or you have a certain group of your attendants be the flashlight.
I was
people.
Just gonna say, yeah. No, it's, you know, kids back in the day used to be a caddy, right?
Yeah,
used to be a caddy. Kids also will work as like baggers in grocery stores and stuff like that. Give back to the local community by hiring all the young kids to hold flashlights for all the people working there.
Oh, there is going to be so much verbal abuse. Well, you shine the damn light over here. Look where I'm pointing, you know?
But it might be a little different if it's not their own kid.
Yeah, that's true.
It's kind of like a...
Yeah, yeah.
It's also kind of maybe you could work in a corking fee. So when you go to a restaurant, you can bring your own bottle of wine and you just pay for them to open it. You can drink your own bottle of wine. If you want to bring your own kid to yell at, you just got to pay a smaller fee than you would for the one that's provided there.
Yeah.
It's a corking fee for the flashlight kid. And then you can yell at your own kid while you're there.
Oh, it's therapy. It's therapy. I mean, the kid's going to need therapy, but it's therapy for the dads. I love this. This is
well. He's
great
definitely
going to
need therapy if he's hanging out with his dad in the speakeasy slash workshop and watches his dad, take a finger off. You know,
yeah.
Definitely going to need therapy.
Well, and that's what's next door. You just that's the add-on business that you add next door is just therapy.
You know, I've noticed that
therapy, and then you have like an urgent care. You know, you just start leasing out some land next to it.
Yeah, just have an emergency room that just specializes in putting fingers back on. And then
wrap that into the business.
Yeah, and then you have you have a whole ice machine that we keep off limits to just keep body parts in as they come off so that they can keep them on ice so they're still good to sew them back on.
People also toss the fish in there that they just caught. Yeah. You know?
All right. Oh, I see. You caught some walleye. Throw that in the limbs, in the digits. Yeah. Ice machine.
Digits.
Throw that in there with the digits. You open it up. There's like four.
What is this?
Go ahead.
Yeah, you got Wendy's got their finger chili. Then Reed's we'd have our
finger chili.
We're not serving that in our menu.
You know, I honestly think
you know about the finger chili, right?
No, and then if it's like one of the guys are like, screw it, I don't want him to sew my finger back on. You guys can then hang all of the lost fingers on the wall as like trophies, basically.
Yeah, the wall of the
so
wall.
So that brings up the question: Do you serve food though? Because I mean, you've got your
why stop?
So you got your bar food, but I mean.
Yeah, I imagine this is like a low end steakhouse as well.
Yeah.
You might as well. If this is our dream.
Right.
Low end steakhouse, maybe maybe only ribeyes.
Ribeyes, yeah. That'd be good. Some it's a burgers and cheap steaks kind of place. Almost also a lot of chips. You gotta have a lot of chips. Here's what I think that you could actually partner with a lot of these hardware stores are having a hard time with supply chain. You walk in there, they don't have a lot going on. Like, they don't have a lot of supply for you. They got the space, you know? So I think you could almost go into a hardware store that's on the ropes, pitch this idea, and then you're halfway there. I mean, this could be a real thing.
Yeah, really there are some hardware stores that are on the ropes. That would be a great business move.
Yeah.
Maybe you could do something to really just revive it. Also, if they maybe do go out of business, a hardware store does, then you can just use their empty shelf space. You can, to get your own stock, you actually have a buy, sell, and trade section that people can bring in and browse and do all that.
Yes. Yeah. And how many people, too, have old tools hanging around their place? You know, I've got this old table saw that was my dad's sitting in my garage. I've been trying to find a home for it for a while. You know, by the way, if anyone wants a table saw out there, it's going for $200. Okay, you gotta come get it though. I'm really asking for it with that one, But yeah, I buy, sell, and trade section in the deal. By the way, you got anything you want to buy, sell, or trade?
He wants to.
Oh man, I've always got stuff I want to sell.
He wants to buy a bar, Charlie.
Oh, that's true. He wants to buy a bar.
I want to buy a bar, you know, in Kansas City. So.
All right. Well, to fund it, give us one thing you want to sell.
Well, my left kidney? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, someone will take
You know
that.
A guy that can help him with that? I don't think I... My Rolodex doesn't got a... I don't got a black market guy.
Why go black market?
You don't got a kidney guy, you know?
No, yeah. That's like one of the few guys I don't have, unfortunately.
Anyone with a fillet knife can figure it out.
Holy shit.
You know, if you can clean a walleye or clean a deer, you could probably be a kidney guy.
Oh, yeah. I bet you I could get that kidney out. I'm pretty good.
It's not about getting the kidney out. It's about getting the kidney into someone else.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
That is the hard part. That's
just because you can fillet a walleye doesn't mean you can get a kidney out. Folks, that's another life lesson brought to you by the Bellied Up Podcast. No,
brought to you by Reed's Bar and Hardware Store. They got what you need down at Reed's.
Something that you've got a lot here in the Midwest or in the U.S. I've not seen any like pub and hardware stores. But in Ireland, you see it all over the place.
Do you?
Pub and hardware stores. I guess maybe because space is limited. But
really?
Well, looks like we're... dang it. We got to do an R&D trip to Ireland and drink a bunch and go visit hardware stores, Charlie.
We should do a Bellied Up in Ireland. We should just go to...
You can probably make that a tax write-off.
Oh, 100%.
Dude, yeah. That's my MO.
We got to make sure we drink plenty of... Drink good beer, too. Ooh, while we're over there.
Yeah. Oh, you're coming too now.
It's our dream.
I like it.
It's our dream, Charlie.
All right. Well, let's go do it. By the way, using the Ireland thing as an example of, well, they do it in Ireland. In Ireland, they have every place is a bar. Like they have churches that are bars. They have schools that are bars. They have hospitals that are bars. That's just what they do in Ireland.
But I mean, if you need something to fill up something on a business plan, you say, hey, they did it in Ireland.
Yeah, that's true.
That is.
Yeah. Nobody reads those things anyway.
That's true. That is true.
Well,
hey.
No.
You
go ahead, Charlie.
Just thanks for coming on. You really got our creative juices flowing. My juices are flowing, I'll tell you that.
If you know me, my head's now going to be just rolling with ideas for this business we're going to start.
Yeah, I really like it. By the way, we're all partners on this.
I'm thinking Charlie and I may be 40-40 and you can be 20.
Yeah, 40-40-20 work for you?
We can talk your people talking my people.
Yeah, it sounds like you agreed to that. Yeah.
Well, have your mom call us and we'll chit chat about it. Okay.
Sounds good. And hey, one other thing, I've got to say, I think Kansas City needs more love as a part of the Midwest. We're kind of like the navel of the Midwest.
Pitch your city.
Pitch your city.
Why is Kansas City not getting enough love from the Midwest?
Well, Kansas City should get a lot more love. I would make the argument, it may sound odd, but we are like the navel of the Midwest.
The navel?
We're just that we're that naughty recess right in the beer belly of the Midwest.
Right in the beer belly of the... Is it a smelly belly button?
A lot of lint going on in Kansas City, or why you say that?
I mean, I wouldn't say that, but we do have the garment district, so they probably let it lint there. Okay. But man, we got a lot of great breweries, a lot of great beer. It's just a great, great scene for just good old Midwest town. Everybody is super Midwest nice and, real friendly, a lot of deer hunters. We are right there on the outskirts because if you go out much farther west, you know, Kansas, Oklahoma, that's definitely not Midwest. But
well, that's Midwest, Kansas, Oklahoma. I mean, Dorothy is as Midwest as it comes, you know? She's from Kansas.
It's kind of getting out there.
Okay. Well, listen.
But
you're forgetting a huge aspect that makes Kansas City super Midwest, and that is the tailgating. I went to a Chiefs game, and you guys, I'll tell you this much, you know how to tailgate there.
We do know how to tailgate, and we got barbecue. I mean, we've got some of the, in my opinion, it's the best food in the whole country. We got
got barbecue. It's way better than Texas. Texas barbecue doesn't stand, isn't anything like Kansas City barbecue. And you mix that with all the great breweries, all the great beer and distilleries that we have. And Jay Rieger, which is one of the coolest just distilleries here in the area, they got a adult size slide right in the middle of the bar, and it was an old electric park that used to pump beer out underneath the road into a spigot in a park, and it was actually the inspiration for Walt Disney for Walt Disney World. And so Jay Rieger, that it just such a cool place. They're revitalizing the whole area and calling it Electric Park. And I doubt they'll be pumping beer into spigots, but that's what it used to be. And I mean, it was like, this is heart of Prohibition era. So you've got a lot of, just a lot of distilleries, a lot of brews here in the area. Great place. But yeah, the slide in Jay Rieger, man, it's got to be one of the coolest places here in Kansas City.
Until Reed's Bar and Hardware Store becomes a thing.
And you know what? If you think that you got to be worried about insurance with Reed's Bar and Hardware Store, how much insurance you think they were worried about with pumping beer into a park, you know? So forget about insurance.
You know, this that was back happening. In the day when the insurance company was also the mafia, the guy funding the thing. So it may still be the case, though.
Yeah.
Kansas City mob.
It's not about what you know, it's who you know these days. Yeah. So,
indeed.
So, and just remember that legal stuff is not a roadblock. It's just a speed bump along the way. So,
amen. Couldn't have said it better 100%. Myself.
All right, man. Well, this was awesome. I can't wait for us to kickstart our dream together.
Our dream is, I mean, it's going to I've been make dreaming us about this since
I was just a kid, actually. So, yeah,
likewise.
I'm thinking maybe percentage wise, I'll go 60, you go 20, and then he can go 20 as well.
Yeah, I'm going to have my mom call you too. Okay. So, well, thanks for calling in, and I can't wait to see this dream become a reality.
Indeed. Well, tell your folks to say hi and watch out for deer.
All right, you too now.
Real good now. See ya.
Miles, that's so much fun. That is a great idea.
That is actually, like, it would be fun to do that.
Yeah.
Because think of all of the workshopping and the bad, good ideas that would come out of us sitting around having a couple beers, maybe taking a look at how are we going to get this snowblower running?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, and there would be a lot of creative, a lot of old guys would come in and just start kicking it and then be like, that's all you got to do. And then it would start off like, damn it. But you would have been tinkering with it all day if you wouldn't have brought it to Reed's Bar and Hardware Store.
And the other thing, I think there's a lot of people in sort of like a lot of younger guys, gals, whatever. They don't necessarily know their way around tools the way like our dads did.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that this would introduce a do-it-yourself kind of mentality to a whole new generation. You know, I mean, it's YouTube is a great way to figure out this stuff, but this is like YouTube with a bar attached. Yeah.
You know? Well, and it's like maybe it could even be a side gig for all the retirees.
Oh, they love it.
They're bellied up to the bar just drinking, and then you can just go up to them and be like, hey, I got a gig for you. And then they just work on it there and then go sit back down at the bar.
That's great. Yeah, it pays for the bar bill.
Yeah.
Ah, this is fantastic.
All right. Well, another bellied up episode in the books, Charlie. How you feeling? Feeling good?
Feeling great.
Yeah. I think the Hi-Ho is a great spot to sit, drink, have a burger, have a brew.
Oh, I'm hungry
and,
now.
No, they actually have phenomenal burgers here. I've had them before. And so if you're hungry, we got to get you one.
All right. I'm going to do that now.
So, guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Bellied Up podcast. And if you want us to come and belly up to your bar, we actually now have a form that you can submit.
Nice.
So if you go to our Instagram page at Bellied Up Pod, in the bio, there'll be a little link. You can click on that. You can submit your bar. And you may just see us bellied up at your bar someday. So again, guys, thanks for tuning in. And we will see you in the next one.
Don't forget to tip your bartender.
Tip the bartender.